And I think that's the hardest thing as women. And when you're young, like when you're a young woman and you have like these friendships and these girl relationships, you know, with your homegirls and stuff, and you got people to hang out with and stuff like that. And then you go from that to maybe having one friend or no friends in some instances. That's the hard thing to do, because then you'll be like, well, who I'm gonna talk to, or who I'm gonna do this with, or who I'm gonna do that with. But for me, it was just like, okay, I see now why every 10 steps I take forward, it still feels like I'm stuck in the same place, because I'm surrounding myself with these people that really don't fuck with me like that. Like, I'm thinking that these is my homies, that we cool, and that, you know, when I come around, it's a great thing. Like, you know, it's a party, it's all love. And in reality, it's like, oh, I can't stand her. Oh, she thinks she this, or she thinks she that. If you got all this drama going on in your life and you trying to figure out why all of this drama is happening to you, and you're not doing nothing, or you're not sparking it, you are sparking it, because you staying messing with the same people that's bringing the drama. But you cut them people off and see how quiet your life get. And it might seem boring, but you know what? I'd rather be boring. I'm boring. Good. I don't have no drama in my life. Nobody can call me up starting nothing, because I will shut it down early. It's no drama for me to be in. That is so peaceful for me. I have a peace of mind. You can't think with that type of drama going on. So for anybody that's listening, I just feel like if you want to move forward in your life, in your business, in your purpose, in whatever it is, like if everything in your life feel like it's stuck, then you got to take a look at what you stuck up under, who energy you stuck up under, and clearing people out.
For questions, comments, and to show your support, visit us on the web at afroempath.com. You're an empath. You know what? We all, generally speaking, we have some trauma in our lives, right? We have some run-ins with narcissistic people. We're finding ourselves and realizing that we're sensitive, and that we're emotional sponges, right? So how did you realize that? And what trials and tribulations brought you to that point?
So I was always a highly sensitive child. And I always knew from early on I had gifts. My mom was actually the person who picked it up first and realized that I had some gifts. And it wasn't like it was frowned upon or anything like that. You know, it was just one of those things. It was supported. You know, it wasn't like a bad thing or anything like that. So I feel like when I was a child, my power was a lot stronger, without me even, you know, really fully grasping what it was or how I was using it. And as I got older and went through so many things and kind of shut that part of me off, not intentionally, because that's not a part of me that I was trying to shut off, but that part shut down with the, you know, with things happening and interacting with different energies and, you know, getting kind of muddy. You know, in the, you know, going through the mud with certain things. So, growing up, I was bullied a lot, and just, you know, all the way from elementary school right to high school. I went to 6 different high schools. I was always different, always kind of like outcast, always like the popular outcast, should I say, because everybody knew me, everybody knew my name, everybody in my hood knew who I was, they knew my family. And they'd be like, oh, that's that girl whose family owns a beauty shop, or that's that girl that always have the crazy colors in her hair and dresses different. I was always on my own vibe, and I wasn't trying to fit in with nobody. I was trying to find people that fit me, and I never could find people that fit me. I had some friends along the way. I was never the type of person that could hold on to friends like that. Like, I could have friends for 10 to 20 years or whatever, but I'm a loner. So, like, one minute we could be thick as thieves, and then I won't speak to them for, like, 5 years. Not because we got beef, but just because that's how it is. And I've lost some friends along the way. I realized that I was an empath, or I learned what that word actually meant and embodied, just when I started looking up stuff on my journey, coming into my own realization that I have these gifts and I have to do something with it, and I have to get away from people in relationships that don't support that. Because I was in an 8-year relationship with a person who, you know, not that he was a bad person, he was a good guy and cared about me and loved me, but he wouldn't allow me to light candles in the house. Like, I couldn't light candles. I didn't feel comfortable meditating because it was like, oh, you doing your little meditation thing, and it was like something to make fun of, and the energy just didn't feel good for me to do certain things there. So I kind of suppressed that part of myself for 8 freaking years.
Wow.
And, you know, like, of course I was probably reading and doing little things on my own time, but I wasn't fully able to explore it. And when I met my girlfriend, or my ex-girlfriend, who's my best friend now, she's one of my soulmates. And so we had a very rocky relationship, but we stayed friends because we realized that our spiritual connection was so deep. And so she's part of the reason why I kind of explored my spirituality more. We kind of like went into that together, and it was, you know, it made it possible for me to be more introspective and kind of like really know myself, look at myself, stand in my truth, know myself, know my truth, like know who I am, my triggers, my flaws, like what my bullshit is, and be able to present that to other people. Like, listen, this is me, and if you fucking with me, then, you know, this is what you gotta know. Because I don't, you know, I don't want to be trying to explain it to you or apologize for it later. Like, this is who I am. These are the things that I can't apologize for because, you know, it's me. And, you know, but if I hurt somebody, of course, I'm apologetic about it. But I'm not going to apologize for being who I am as a person. So I let people know right off the bat, like, if you don't like it, just don't fuck with me. Because, you know, I had enough of
This is funny because, you know, I can kind of see that. You know, I'm looking at your profile picture on Facebook, you know, as we speak, and I kind of see that in your face a little bit. You know, the face is kind of like, yeah, I'm, you know, yeah, what, you know?
No, but you know what? I'm the friendliest person ever. Like,
I can tell, but you know, they say that the people with the greatest, the biggest hearts also have to have the greatest defenses. You know.
Yeah, man, and you really do. It's the truth. So I just got to know what's good for me and my energy. So, you know, because I don't want to offend nobody.
I hear you. Have you done a Myers-Briggs test to see what your personality type would be?
The Myers-Briggs, is that the INFJ?
Yeah. What did it come up as?
Yeah, I did that test. I believe INFJ. If I'm not mistaken, and I would have to go back in my email or something to check, but I'm pretty sure it was INFJ.
Okay, and that sounds about right. You know, I'm an INFP. We're very similar. It seems like INFJ and INFPs are the most like empathic of all the personality types.
I'm an introverted extrovert.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to touch on two things. Like, one, like, okay, so your first relationship with this gentleman here that lasted 8 years. I have a theory, and I don't know, you help me out with this and tell me if it's founded in anything, but like, I have a theory that some empathic women they may get with a guy and not have like the spiritual connection or like the certain tenderness that they're longing for in a man. You're gonna say, like, let me ask you, did you ever think about that, like, in terms of like women like not finding tenderness in a man, and then I'm not saying you seek it in a woman, I'm just saying that you find it more in a woman. You're gonna say, like, what do you think about that?
Maybe that's absolutely true. I think that women in general tend to seek out assholes. I personally am attracted to asshole personalities, and it's not so much that I like a guy that's going to be an asshole to me. I just like the
protective nature of it.
What's the word I'm using? Yeah. Yeah, the protective nature of it. But usually the people that I've dated and the guys that I've gone out with, they were tender for me. Like, even if they were thuggish or thugs, like, I won't say never, but I've never long-term dated or stayed with or been in love or in my feelings with a man or a woman that was like rough or harsh or outwardly just mistreating of me. Like, any guy that I've dated, for that matter, when they got around me, they were soft as Twinkie filling. They were real soft, and they could be the thuggest dude in the street, but honey, when he was with me, that man was a softie. I don't play that shit.
Mm-hmm. But still,
that doesn't attract me. But I do see what you're saying. We do tend to attract like the opposite of what we seem to need.
I'm only saying that because I met a sister. She was, number one, she had an abusive relationship with her father. It was abusive, so that may have made her, I don't know.
Yeah, see, that happens. Like, women that are in abusive relationships or grow up with a certain kind of male dominant figure around them, depending on what the interaction is, their choices in men kind of mirror that. And it speaks to that. And then when you realize it, or when you realize what you're doing, then hopefully you change or you do something better. For me personally, I've never really mirrored what I grew up around, because my father wasn't in the house. And I didn't have a feeling about that. Like, it wasn't something that I stayed up at night about crying. I had a crap load of uncles. I had a great grandfather. And those were the men that I grew up around. And my grandfather and my grandmother were together consistently until they died together. So I don't have that image. You know, I had some uncles that were playboys, some uncles that were this, some uncles that were that. But all the men in my family were tender to me, and they all showed me mad love. Mm-hmm. So when I looked for relationships, that's not the thing that I was picking up for myself. Like, if I felt like somebody was mean toward me, or like their energy for me wasn't good, then that made me want to not be around them. Men, women, regard, doesn't matter which sex it was. Like, when I saw it, when I felt that, that's the energy that she was giving me, even as a teenager, child, whatever, going through these relationships, then that would kind of push me away. So,
gotcha. But do you think that
not outward?
Yeah, I hear you saying, but like, do you think that like women have a certain tenderness that men lack? You know what I'm trying to say, in your experience, you know?
Definitely, it's not even a tenderness. It's a connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't explain the connection, but I'd like to say that I have a lot of experience in relationships, in love, in exploring my own sexuality, to be able to speak on this. And I have observed my relationships, and it's not even something that I could put into words. There is something about being in a relationship with a woman, and it's past the gender, or and it's past the sex or anything, as far as like I'm attracted to women or I'm attracted to men. There's like an energy that is shared that is not comparable to the energy that you share with the man. There's like an understanding, there's an energy, there's a like a passion, there's a lot of things that transpire that just doesn't, I've never experienced in any relationship with a man.
All right, let me ask you, with would you say the last sister you're with, that you're still friends with, would you say that she's also an empath?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, but the men, have you been with a man that was an empath?
I don't think so. And if I have been, either I didn't realize it or they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. So,
but looking back.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish.
No, I said looking back, I'm not sure. I don't think.
Yeah. like basically my theory is, and you know, is that possibly because of the society we live in and the pressure that's on men, especially black men, should I say, a lot of us shut down, you know what I'm trying to say, in terms of feeling, you know, because it can be hard to being a black man in this society is like comparable to waking up in a nightmare every day. You know what I'm trying to say? But seeing that it's real. So a lot of us shut down our empathic abilities. And I think that because of that, a lot of women, we don't have that connection that you speak about to give them. Is that what I'm trying to say? So my theory is that some women, I have a theory, and this is just a theory. I don't know if it's, I can't say if it's true or not, but I spoke to one sister and she said it might have some weight, is that some empath females may get with women because there's a connection there that they're not getting with men, because a lot of men have shut down their empathic abilities living in the society that we live in as black men, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That could be true.
Yeah.
That could be not true. I think that you always connect with people on a spiritual level. I don't believe that some empath women are getting with other empath women just for that connection alone. Because regardless, if you have a spiritual connection with somebody, there has to be an absolute attraction between you somewhere, you know that's what you like, or that's one of the things that you like. So I think it's definitely empath women are attracted to other women, and that could be part of the reason, a big part of the reason, because most of the women that I were involved with were very spiritual in nature.
This is not a knock on women or women, you know, being with women. It's just something that I've realized, that a lot of men may have empathic abilities, but because of the society we live in, they just had to numb themselves. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think that's definitely true. Oh no, I'm not offended at anything.
Yeah.
I have to apologize.
I'm just saying for our listeners that may not understand where I'm trying to go with this, you know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I do know some empathic men, but those men are really in touch with themselves and in touch with their spirituality, or woke, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of know, you know, they know themselves. And it's hard for guys, for men, black men, especially in this society, is really hard on you. So you do shut that part of yourself out. As a woman, some women shut that part of themselves out and have to be more more masculine or stronger than, you know. So that goes for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I've met some sisters that, you know, would classify themselves as gay, but like when I look at them, I can see in their eyes that they could be attracted to me, but they're attracted to me because of my energy. You know what I'm trying to say? Like I have a certain feminine energy that a lot of men don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? I'm in touch with my feminine side, but I'm also masculine in a sense that I have a protective nature, you know? So I just think that, you know, there could be a longing in our women to be with men that are in touch with their feminine side that's not there. You know what I'm trying to say? Either you're getting hyper masculine men, or, you know, completely effeminized, you know, men. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like it's hard to get.
There's no balance.
Yeah, exactly.
No balance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
There's no balance.
Exactly. It's hard to find a black man that has the balance nowadays, you know? So that's all I can
definitely agree with that. And finding balance is a hard thing, especially when you have all of this other stuff going on that I don't even have to touch on. You're black, I'm black, so we already know, you know, what's up. It's a whole lot of things that weigh on us as black people, that you don't, you know, finding balance is not always on the top of your list.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Really, if people will find the balance within themselves, especially our people, then we will be able to get a lot more things done and hear each other a lot more clearly. But, you know, outwardly, I guess it just doesn't make sense for a lot of people and for a lot of men, because men, for the most part, are one-track minded. Like, if they can't do those things, provide, protect, you know, those are the things that's on the top of a man's list. And, you know, that gets really difficult to do as a black man when society is keeping you down. And so that creates a whole bunch of other problems. And then you see how your spirituality and finding balance can get put to the back burner because you're trying to feed your family, or you're just trying to survive as a black man.
Exactly.
Or you're just trying to eat and get your education or do whatever it is that you should be able to do without a problem, or most people do without a problem, but you gotta go through all of these hurdles and shit to just do regular stuff. Yeah. So now your first priority is not gonna be to meditate and get your chakras in order and, you know, discover yourself and figure out what your yin and your yang balance is, because you got too much other stuff going on. And if your homies see you doing that, they're gonna think you soft. So, you know, it's a lot. Whereas women are naturally always looking for that balance, or trying to figure out, independent on what end of the spectrum you've fallen on as a woman, astrologically, spiritually, you know, etc., then you're going to be more inclined to do that introspection than others.
Mm-hmm.
But we're usually the people that's ushering in that type of thing and kind of pushing that thing forward to, like, figure out who you are and get in balance with yourself.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff. You know, if people would just take the time out to figure out who they were, and that it's okay to have a masculine and feminine balance, like, that's how we're made. We're supposed to have masculine and feminine balances. We're like puzzle pieces. That's how we fit together. And we're not fitting together, and it's like, you know, it's rough for us right now. It's like trying to fit a peg into a circle, or a circle into a square pole, you know, because we're not balanced, and we're bringing that imbalance to each other.
Bingo,
and we're not fitting together like we're supposed to.
Yeah, I think the black male has to, because he is so socially and economically castrated by design, I think he sometimes overcompensates for that and tries to be hyper-masculine. You know what I'm trying to say?
The society promotes that.
Yeah, but I'm saying the society promotes that, but you don't have to feed into it. But a lot of them do, because it's the only way that they can feel like a man. And so I think that sometimes that turns into, when in a relationship, it can turn into either physical abuse or some kind of other type of abuse. You know what I'm trying to say? Where they feel like they gotta put a woman down to feel like they're a man of the house. You know what I'm trying to say? Or to feel like they're a man, period. Because they've lost the typical avenues to express yourself as a man, as being a provider. You know what I'm trying to say? Because it's hard to be a provider, in a world that is designed to shut you out. So, you know,
hard being a provider in a world that's not set up for you to be able to provide.
Yeah, exactly. So the whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs thing, you know, they have us at the bottom rung of that still. So, I think, you know, hearing you speak about men and women, it kind of makes me think, boy, it must be easier just to be with a woman, because you don't have to deal with all that. It's not that you hate black. It's not that you hate black men, but you realize that we do have a lot of struggles outside of knowing ourselves. You know what I'm trying to say? So if you're on a path towards,
I don't think it's easier. It's difficult. No matter who you dating, it's going to be difficult. If you're dating a person of color, that doesn't know thine self, then you are going to have a difficult time. I date black women and black men. And however you want to categorize what falls under that umbrella of people of color, You understand? And so it's, I'm not going to say either one is easier than the other, because it's not. I think that for me now, knowing myself going forward into any relationship, I already know when I'm in the person's presence, when I'm getting to know a person, if certain things are going to work out or how far certain things could possibly go. So, you know, or how difficult things could actually be. You can't really know everything, but I know who's going to fit me, so to speak. So what, you know, and if partner's not meshing with me, then I'm out.
Gotcha. So what are a common thing, common themes among women that you've dated in terms of the issue that they struggle with?
I don't know if there was a common thread. I think that the women that I dated at the time were just in my life for those seasons, like to bring me to some kind of awareness about myself, and vice versa. I brought them to some kind of awareness about themselves. They all had like different stuff going on with them. So, you know, and different stuff going on as it pertains to our relationship, and that's why, you know, we didn't work. But I will say that the last person that I dated, which is my very close friend, my best friend, she was like the combination of everything up to that point. So our relationship was very explosive. And there was a lot of things going on between us. I think we came together at a time where we were just going through a lot and both really trying to, like, getting hit in the head with the universe was banging us in the head. Like, listen, you know, that's a hard thing when you're having all of these things go on, because that affects your world outwardly. It affects everything. It affects your work. It affects your home. So we had all of these things going on, and I just have to say that for us to have gone through so much and to be able to come out on the other side as friends and like be able to have deep conversations about spirituality and kind of like be in tune, like we'll be going through the same stuff at the same time, and I'll be like, yo, I didn't call you for a week because I was going through it. She'll be like, I know, I felt it, I knew you was going through it. Or, you know, like we have that kind of ebb and flow between each other. That's kind of, you know, it's hard to find. And when you do find it, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be flowers and roses and stuff like that. Usually your soulmate is a mirror. It's like putting up a mirror to you, and you're going to fight it.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I'm just blessed to hear that you have that kind of relationship. That's good. But you know, we've talked a lot about black men and what they go through. So what common themes do you see in terms of black women in general, though? Like right now, what do you feel that that you guys are dealing with in terms of knowing thyself, you know?
As a black woman, yeah. Well, you know, we are at the bottom of the totem pole. And so people go back and forth with whether black men are at the bottom or black women are at the bottom, but they say it's a man's world. So I'm going to say, for the sake of this conversation coming out of my mouth, that we are, in society, we are at the bottom of the totem pole. We are under black men. And we have been bombarded with these images, with these messages, that we ain't shit, that we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough, we like the ugliest women on the planet, everything is wrong with everything about us, from our nappy hair to our big lips to all of these things. I wrote a poem about this like 15 years ago, and I swear this before the explosion of the Kardashians and, you know, everybody injecting their lips and stuff like that, I wrote this poem. And it's so funny, because when I think about what's going on today, we're like, black women still feeling like we're at the bottom of the totem pole, but slowly coming into this awakening of being natural and embracing our own beauty. And that's a beautiful thing to see in of itself. But we got a long way to go. We still had to struggle, because now you got people pumping their butts up and getting their lips injected, getting tans, getting all of this. Like, you could literally be a black woman without going through all of the pain of being a black woman. And it's like, wow, but we still not enough. And it's like, everybody wants to take everything from us and don't give us no credit. Like, y'all ain't shit, but by the way, we'll take them lips, we'll take that nappy hair, we'll take all of that, because it's better on everybody else but you. And then if you go to school and you work, you're too strong, you're too independent. If you say, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, or I just want to, you know, I want to be in a happy relationship and raise kids and have a husband or whatever, then you're lazy, or you like, you don't have goals. Like, I don't know. I feel like you, as, you know, for black women, like, you kind of can't win. So for me, and I'm for myself and for other black women, some other black women that I know, I just figure, fuck it. I'm not trying to please nobody but me. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I don't care about anything? Nope, it doesn't. That just means that I need to figure out how to love my own beautiful black self and come out of the mindset that I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, because even though that's what society places me, that's not who I truly am. And so I have to keep myself in that realization and out this matrix way of thinking. And that, it's hard. It's not like it's an easy thing to do. Even when you know better, it's still a struggle every day. You still struggle with your interactions with people and how certain people treat you, how certain people react to you, especially when you walk in your truth and you know who you are and you decide that you're not going to let somebody talk to you any kind of way or treat you any kind of way, or you're not going to accept any kind of service, or, you know, that just brings up a whole nother thing. So it's just like a daily fight. It's you on the battlefield every day.
How are you with your meditation? How often do you meditate, out of curiosity?
Every day.
Every day? Good.
Every single day.
Yeah. I was just meditating and thinking about, like, kind of not what you're talking about in terms of with black women, but just in terms of myself, because, you know, we all have our own struggles between as black people, as a period, male or female. And I realized that ultimately, no matter what you see on the media in terms of a better image of yourself or what you tell yourself, I feel until you do the inner work or the inner chakra work, you're trying to say, to really let go of this world and to stop caring about polls or the bottom top, you know, who decides that? You know what I'm trying to say? Ultimately, exactly. Ultimately, you know, we are each universes within ourselves. You know what I'm trying to say? So,
yes.
It's like, you know, once you realize that, then, you know, you know, all is mine. So you can define your reality based upon how you'd like to perceive yourself. And I'm going to say, based upon how you perceive yourself, the world will change around you. You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely true.
Yeah. We've been, you know, in this country, under white supremacy, we've been going through a process of, I like to think of how in boot camp they break you down, they break your self esteem down, you know, they break it down so they can rebuild you up something new and better. You know what I'm trying to say? And I think that metaphysically speaking, we've been broken down to learn how to be in our truth, you know, to refine our truth, our inner truth, you know, and I think that really is that. Really, your worth, I feel your worth really in this world is going to be based upon your knowledge of self and through that knowledge of self, your knowledge of God within yourself. You know what I'm trying to say? And once you're no longer subject to, you know, being dictated by finite things, which your vessel is, you know what I'm trying to say?
Your strength and your self-worth is something that will never waver because it doesn't come from anything external or anything finite, you know?
You have to do the inner work.
Yeah.
You have to, it's a lot of things that you have to work on. As a person of color, you have to heal your ancestral DNA. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to heal those things. You got to reach back generations and heal that stuff and then come up and heal yourself. And then you got to know that. Somebody had to tell you that. Somebody has to pull you in, or you have to gravitate towards that to know about it, to heal it, to find out about it. So, you know, there's that. You know, you have to heal all of these things within yourself first.
When did that happen for you? What age did that happen for you when you say you became into consciousness, and what sparked that?
Let's see. I want to say I always had a consciousness, like I've always been searching. But when it really hit me, I think it was at 33. That's when everything really started to fall apart and fall into place. At when I turned 33. My 33 year. That was a heavy year for me. I lost a lot of friends. Probably all my friends. I lost so many friends, and I just came into so many realizations about everything, about life, and, you know, like this path that I had to forge in the world at 33.
What sparked it was, you know, like what was it? Was there, I mean, obviously it's an internal thing, obviously first, but what physically
sparked it was that maybe it was just the universe waking me up and I was just seeing things amplified. It was like I had just put on glasses for the first time and I was seeing things that, you know, like when you're in toxic relationships or relationships with people that is not really down for you, not romantic relationships. I'm talking about like people that you think is your friend. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, like hindsight always gives you 20/20, and you realize like the little bullshit that they would do that you should have picked up on at the time when you thought they was your friend. Mm-hmm. But now that y'all not cool no more, now you see it. Well, that stuff was starting to happen right before my eyes. And like I was seeing the little faces that certain friends would make. I would hear the little intonations in their voices, and I would just feel this energy shift that didn't match with what was coming out of their mouth. You know, so it was like you looking at me and saying, I look beautiful, but your face is scrunched up like I smell like shit. Mm-hmm. That type of thing. And I, like, all of this stuff had just started, like, falling into place for me, like when I was see how people respond, like if I say no to something or I can't do something, like how everybody just started the switch. And I don't know if my reaction to seeing that stuff is what sparked it, but all of a sudden I just known that my people that I was close to was starting to fall by the wayside, like we was falling out. And it was just like, all right, well then peace out. Like that, I see who you are, and you a hater. Like you really hating on me and I'm trying to love you. You know, so I was just like, wow. And so I just, once I saw who people were in my life, and I cut them off, I never looked back. I said, okay, well, we ain't friends no more. I was hurt, but that was it. I washed my hands and I was like, all right, fuck it.
How'd that process go? Take me through that process, because guess what? One day a girl's going to listen to this and it's going to go through the same thing. And I want to know, how did you do that? Because letting people go, again, I just had one of my latest podcast episodes was about that. How did you do that?
Okay, so I don't want to be hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. Mm. So your first reaction to something that's hurting you is going to be to stop whatever it is that's hurting you. And that's just how I looked at these friendships. it was something that I couldn't ignore. I don't even know if it was a whole process, because once I pinpointed what I was feeling and what I was seeing, then it was like, oh, okay. And I just stopped. I just fell back. Like, I stopped answering my phone. And I think that's the hardest thing as women. And when you're young, like, when you're a young woman and you have, like, these friendships and these girl relationships, you know, with your homegirls and stuff, and you got people to hang out with and stuff like that. And then you go from that to maybe having one friend or no friends in some instances. That's the hard thing to do, because then you'll be like, well, who I'm going to talk to, or who I'm going to do this with, or who I'm going to do that with. But for me, it was just like, okay, I see now why every 10 steps I take forward, it still feels like I'm stuck in the same place, because I'm surrounding myself with these people that really don't fuck with me like that. Like, I'm thinking that these is my homies, that we cool, and that, you know, when I come around, it's a great thing. Like, you know, it's a party, it's all love. And in reality, it's like, oh, I can't stand her. Oh, she thinks she this, or she thinks she that, or here come this miss, you know, whoever. And that was the part that was like, wow, you know, that was the reality check for me. I don't want to be where I'm not wanted or where I'm not appreciated. And when I felt that energy, I wanted to remove myself from it. So that's the process, just not wanting to be in that space. I mean, if you got all this drama going on in your life and you trying to figure out why all of this drama is happening to you, and you not doing nothing, or you not sparking it, you are sparking it, because you staying messing with the same people that's bringing the drama. Yeah. But you cut them people off and see how quiet your life get. Mm-hmm. And it might seem boring, but you know what? I'd rather be boring. I'm boring. Good. I don't have no drama in my life. Yeah. Nobody can call me up starting nothing, because I will shut it down early. It's no drama for me to be in. That is so peaceful for me. I have a peace of mind. You can't think with that type of drama going on. So for anybody that's listening, I just feel like if you want to move forward in your life, in your business, in your purpose, in whatever it is, like, if everything in your life feel like it's stuck, then you got to take a look at what you stuck up under, who energy you stuck up under, and clearing people out.
Yep.
Like, what I feel like when you walk in the room, and this is not me being egotistical or anything like that, but when you walk in the room, in your mind, the people that you are coming into your life, like when you come to see your friends or your friends come to see you, you should hear like applause. You should hear like gratitude. That's the feeling that you should get when you are around people that give and receive your love and your energy. It should always feel like a standing ovation. Like, it's love when you walk. That's what you should feel like. It should never feel like you're not sure what this energy or what this feeling is, because that ain't for you. If it is, it should always be love and support. When I walk in, like, the feeling that you get when you walk into the room where your mom is, if you have a good relationship with your mom, mm-hmm. you feel that love, you feel that support. That's the kind of people that you're supposed to surround yourself with. And if that's not the energy that you receiving from your crowd, then you need a new crowd.
Yeah. I recently,
or no crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I that's one of the things I've recently come to realize, is that, you know, you have to take a, like, an inventory of your life in terms of the people that you surround yourself with, you know. It's a major thing, basically, you know, as empaths, we want to vibrate high. We want to vibrate higher and higher and higher, right? But not everybody has that goal. You know what I'm trying to say? And so it's like, when you begin to vibrate higher, you're gonna have some people that are jealous of they're jealous of the spark of God within you, truthfully. Now, they're not even gonna know how to say that, to know that. You know what I'm gonna say?
They don't even realize why they're mad at you.
Exactly. They don't realize it, exactly, because we as Black people are harbor so many inner demons that go unnoticed, you know? And we've grown comfortable living with them.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, as empaths, you know, we're light beings, you know? So when it's time for us to shine that light, you know, those lower vibrational entities they don't like being around that light. You ever say they like, you know, they, you know, it's like they, it blinds them and annoys them. It forces them to, it's like we're like a mirror for them, and we show them something within themselves that they're not doing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm trying to say? There's inner work that they're not doing, and because we're doing it, we should.
I always used to feel like that, like people were mad because I was just being who I was naturally, and I was never afraid to be that person. Like, you know, everybody that knows me would be like, oh, like, you're really different. Like, you don't dress like nobody. Like, you don't care what nobody think. And it's not even that I was thinking I should care or not. This is just like, this is my skin. Like, this is how I feel comfortable, and I don't know any other way to be. And people get intimidated by that, or it puts them off, because, you know, most of us are walking around with a different face on. Like, we all wearing masks. Everybody have to put on some kind of mask during, you know, in their everyday life. And when you just say, hey, like, this is me, this is who I am, it kind of, it messes with people. And it's like, oh, why she shine so bright? Like, why are you shining? I threw mud at this chick and she's still shining. Like, what is the problem?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what it is they don't know really what love is or what God is, really, you know? And so when they see it within you, that light within you, it's like, I don't know, it's like a monkey. They don't really know it's like you try to put a TV or something or something, like put an invention, a human invention in front of a monkey. They're not going to know what it is. So they're going to, like, you know, do what monkeys do. They'll try to intimidate it, maybe. Maybe they'll throw some shit on it.
People fear.
Exactly.
People fear what they don't know. And they fear what they don't understand.
Exactly. Well, what they don't understand is God, God's love. You know what I'm saying? And so God obviously exists within us, you know, within our hearts. And so it's like when they have become so alienated from that within themselves, I think what they're really trying to do is black people want to avoid pain for as long as they can, if that makes any sense.
Right.
In order to know love, in order to know God, you have to know and face pain. That's why we meditate, right? So black people want to avoid pain for as long as they can, possibly. So when they come around you and they see God and they see that spark within you, it puts a mirror up to them and shows them that they're avoiding their own pain. And that's why they don't like you. That's it. That's really what it is when it comes down to it. They don't like you because you're exposing what they're not doing, and they hate that. They hate that.
And sometimes it's not even that people don't like me or don't like you or empathic people. I think that we have this, as empaths, we have this experience where people will be around us because they like the energy or they like whatever attention they feel is drawing towards us. But it's not that we are even seeking the attention or the energy. Is you bring that with you. And so they want to be around you and it will drain you. And it's not, I feel like people who feel like they don't like me is because they don't like something about themselves. And that's not saying that everybody has to like me, because everybody not going to like you. And, you know, so what if they don't? Because you're not put on this earth for everybody to like you. But usually when people have that kind of strong reaction, it's not necessarily you or something that you did. It's something that it's a feeling that you bring up for them. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, whatever that
exactly. Is, and that yeah, it is. Truthfully, I've noticed within my own life, my own family, and just people in general. Like, in order to face pain, in per se, and face what you're not doing, there's a certain bit of humility that you have to have to realize that you're not as strong and as tough as you think you are, or as powerful as you think you are. You know, and a lot of these people don't want to humble themselves. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to humble themselves to the light, not even within inside you, but just the light within inside themselves and just God, period. You know what I'm saying? Cause God's within all of us, you know? So, but they don't want to have to humble themselves to like, seek a different way, a different path. You know, it's like, if your entire life you're running on a straight track, right, and you're thinking that I'm going the right way, and then you're confronted with somebody or an energy that tells you, oh, no, you're not really. A lot of people don't have the, how can I put it? They don't have the humility, I guess, really, you know, to really reevaluate where they're going. You know what I'm trying to say? In their internal worlds. Does that make any sense?
You're making some sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't.
Sorry, you got some background.
It's always noisy in my background. That's why I had the music on. Cause
it's all good.
Listen, this is the loud house. If you can meditate here, you can meditate anywhere.
Gotcha. I hear you, sister. I hear you.
Sorry about that, but yeah.
Oh, you don't gotta apologize. It's all good. It's a blessing for me to hear your experiences, right? Because they not just mirror my own, but they mirror so many other empath, you know, sisters and brothers that I've spoken to and interviewed, you know. So it's like it's just good to hear. It's good to have a forum to be able to know that you're not going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because as an empath, you can easily feel like you're going crazy. And I will say that it's in the benefit of those people who harbor so many demons to gaslight you to make you think you are.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Going
that's
crazy.
That's true. Because you will think you're going crazy, and you think something is wrong with you. And you know, I mean, I'm so happy that I know, you know, who I am and where I am in this journey, because it helps with a lot of areas in your life. Like, I've struggled with being depressed. Like, as an empath, you know, you have all of this stuff. It's easy to get depressed. And sometimes you get depressed with other people's stuff and think that it's yours, and you don't even realize what it is that you're feeling. And you mistake that for being depressed. So, like, you know, it just helps to know, so that you know the tools that you need to kind of combat this stuff and not, you know, not go through life feeling horrible or wanting to take your own life. And I have attempted that in my younger days, and thank God that I wasn't successful, you know, but because I'm supposed to be here, there's a reason. But, you know, had I known these things earlier on and been able to use the tools that I use to keep myself, you know, in a good, positive mind state, I would have been better off. And one of the main tools that I use is meditation. Like, I need to meditate every day because it keeps my mind right. That means I got people coming in my house. It's about to get noisy.
It's all good, sister. We're probably almost about to end here. You just gave some beautiful advice right there. Anything you want to close on or something like that? Because I know you probably got to head out here pretty soon.
I don't know if there's anything I want to close on.
Where are you at right now? Let me ask you that. Where are you at right now, and where do you see yourself? You know, like, what do you feel like in the universe right now? That, like, in terms of your lessons that you're needing to learn right now.
What do I need to learn right now?
Like, what do you feel the universe is calling you to, like, realize within yourself right now?
Okay.
You
know
what I'm saying? Does that make any sense what I'm trying to say?
Right now, I feel like I'm really just starting on my journey, as to finding out, like, what my true purpose is and what I'm being called to do. I know that I'm being called to find my tribe and to assist other women of color in their journey, whatever that may be, in their spiritual journey, in their journey to find their best and truest self, because that's what my journey is all about. That's what I'm trying to do. And so, like, right now, I feel like it's a really good time for me because I'm really learning more and more who I am every day. I'm accepting of almost every, you know, part of me. It's a work in progress. I'm a work in progress, but I know that, and I know what I will accept and what I want and what I want to attract, and I know what I don't want, and that is a beautiful thing. And that's a powerful thing. And I just think that anybody that's, no matter where they are in their journey, like, we all as people, in order to be our best selves, I'm trying to be the best version of myself, whatever that is. I want to know it. I want to know what it is to be at my best physical fit self, how it feels to feel great in my body. I want to know how it feels to feel in tune spiritually and in order and aligned. I want to know what that feels like. And so that's my journey to get there, or as close to that as I can be, because I can't be good for anybody unless I'm good to me first. I think that's the message for women, for empaths, for black women empaths, is to self-care. Take care of yourself, get to know yourself, don't be scared of yourself, stand in your own truth, you know, recognize your bullshit, because you got some. We all got some. Recognize what it is, recognize the things you need to work on, and just be honest with people. Either people going to love you or they going to leave you alone. That's the best thing for you.
Mm.
Just stand in your truth and get to know yourself.
If you or anyone you know would be interested in spiritual life coaching from a fellow empath, email afroempath@gmail.com or visit afroempath.com for more information.